Welcome to AgriPulse Newsmakers, where we aim to take you to the heart of ag policy. I'm Spencer Chase. Our guest this week is Illinois Republican Rodney Davis, who joins us to offer his thoughts on the Inflation Reduction Act and the upcoming Farm Bill. But first, here's this week's headlines. The latest Consumer Price Index shows food costs hit their highest inflation level since 1979. Prices are up 13.1% over the past year, which is the largest yearly increase in supermarket costs in more than 43 years. Prices rose another 1.3% last month, led by continued increases for dairy products and baked goods. Food prices have gone up by at least 1% every month this year. Documents obtained by AgriPulse confirmed the Justice Department and multiple state attorneys general are investigating possible price fixing by the nation's four largest beef processors. A confidentiality agreement signed in 2020 by officials from both the DOJ and the Idaho Attorney's General's office confirmed the investigation into Cargill, JBS, National Beef, and Tyson. All four companies have denied wrongdoing. Farm groups have called on the DOJ to offer an update on the investigation's progress, but the department has not taken that step. And on Capitol Hill, Democrats made major progress in their efforts to put the Inflation Reduction Act on President Joe Biden's desk. The bill includes big investments in debt assistance for disadvantaged producers, drought relief for the West, and an infusion of money into some familiar conservation programs. Illinois Republican Rodney Davis sits on the House Agriculture Committee. We spoke with him earlier this week, and he acknowledged the conservation programs addressed in the bill are oversubscribed and in need of funding, but he expects the Farm Bill to have to address the issue as well.
Well, the Ag Committee is going to have to come back and do more. The problem we run into, we've put together two very good Farm Bills during my time in Congress, bills that have really put the American taxpayer at the forefront, but also give our farmers the choices to put together the risk management strategies that they prefer. And when you do something ag-related outside of that Farm Bill like this, then what happens during that Farm Bill debate? There are many colleagues of mine that will say, well, we just addressed conservation. Why do we need to do more? These are the types of debates that actually have taken place when you have what I call off reauthorization packages like this IRA package. In the end, I don't think this package is going to be good for American agriculture. And in the end, I don't think it helps my colleagues to be able to get to a good compromise on a new Farm Bill faster.
I do want to ask about another specific provision in this bill, because we saw the American Rescue Plan that congressional Democrats worked through earlier in this term in Congress included some debt forgiveness language that was ultimately struck down within the court system. There is included in this new reconciliation package, this new IRA, some more broader language focused more on disadvantaged producers, kind of a broader subset of language there. But I'm wondering, as someone who was on the side of the aisle that was not necessarily a huge fan of the original language that we saw in the original minority debt forgiveness, your thoughts on sort of this new language and this new broader approach?
I just think this is something that the Democrats have concocted together. Provisions are put in place not because they're best for the American people, not because they're best for American agriculture, but because they're best for a certain member of Congress to address a certain constituency. In the end, I think agriculture should be about being able to compete on a global scale and doing it in a way that every farmer, regardless of who they are, what they look like, and where they live, has the same opportunity to achieve the American dream while farming that our forefathers did and that many of my constituents still do on a regular basis.
So looking forward then at this IRA, looking at the support that it has amongst the Democratic Party, we saw a pretty wide swath of Senate Democrats support the legislation. But wondering, you've mentioned this briefly, but I'm wondering if we can drill down a little bit, what you think sort of the long-term impact on agricultural and farm policy will be of this package?
I just think it's not necessarily a long-term impact, but it's a possible risk. And it's what I had mentioned earlier. When you have a package like this that is not part of the normal Farm Bill reauthorization process, which is going to again begin in 2023, the current bill will expire. The House Ag Committee, Senate Ag Committee, will have to get together and put together another package. But when you have when you have farm programs and ag programs addressed outside of the normal authorization structure, then you risk having that next authorization delayed, having that next authorization just reauthorized, extended, et cetera, like it had been before I got to Congress. And that happened post Obama era stimulus. And this is what I'm afraid may happen going into the next Congress. I'm going to certainly urge my colleagues not to get caught up in this never-ending extension process. I certainly hope that they'll be able to get to a good compromise, and that's what I'll be pushing them to do.
We'll be right back to take a look at the upcoming Farm Bill with Congressman Rodney Davis right after this.
It's not as simple just to wake up one day and go, I want to be a conservation farmer. You're changing how your farming practice is done. You're changing your operation.
Farm Credit supported John and Kelly Watley as they shifted to more sustainable farming, improving the environment where they farm and live. Learn more at farmcredit.com/climate.
Welcome back. As lawmakers have worked to rewrite farm bills in previous attempts, they have also had to pass extensions to give themselves a little bit more time to do it. When we spoke with Congressman Rodney Davis, we asked him if the next iteration of the farm bill will require an extension of current law.
Well, I certainly hope they follow the process that I helped lead in the Farm Bill of 2013 and 2014, and then 2017 and 2018 also. Usually what happens is the initial version of a farm bill get debated early in the first year of this next term. And then after the Senate passes their version, or the House passes their version, if the Senate goes first, then you come up with a good principle compromise, usually into the second year of the next term. I certainly hope that we don't see an extension like we saw before I got to Congress, because I think it puts our farmers at a very tenuous time when it comes to input costs, when it comes to taxing issues, and when it comes to overreach coming from the executive branch. We need action now. But all of this is contingent upon who is running the House and the Senate next Congress. If you have Democrats maintain control of the House and the Senate, every provision within any farm bill debate, within any farm bill title, will be debating climate change issues rather than debating how to lower input costs and increase our ability to ship our products into the global marketplace.
Well, one thing's for certain, no matter who is in control of the Congress after these November midterm elections, is this upcoming farm bill is going to be written in a fairly tight budget environment. So wondering, in the event that Republicans are in control of the House and or Senate, I imagine you have a preference on the two outcomes there. But assuming that they're in control of one or both of those chambers, do you see congressional agricultural leaders from the Republican Party going to bat and asking for new money for this upcoming farm bill? Or do you think this is legislation that can be written sort of within that context of the current baseline?
It's not a debate over just more money. What happened in the 2013 and eventually the 2014 farm bill, when we began that debate, we went into that debate reprioritizing how we were going to spend taxpayer dollars. And as a matter of fact, when we passed that bill in 2014, it was the largest cut in mandatory spending that we had the entire Congress, because we did things right. We actually made the bill work for itself, and more importantly, work for producers across this nation. And I think my colleagues are going to be able to have that same debate when Republicans take over. And our farmers agree that we just can't continue to add to the national debt indiscriminately. Farmers want to play a role and do their part to reduce that debt too. And they're going to help us lead that charge.
You mentioned things that farmers are telling you about this upcoming farm bill. I'm curious, as you go around your district, go around the country really, and talk with producers gearing up for this upcoming farm bill, what are you hearing in terms of their priority issues for this next piece of legislation?
It's just a lot of unknowns. They want some certainty. They don't know what next year's input costs are going to be. They don't know what prices will be for their commodities. Obviously, this year is much different because one of our biggest competitors in the global marketplace, Ukraine, isn't able to compete with the United States when it comes to supplying the global marketplace. And that's going to have a positive impact for American farmers this year on prices. But is that going to be the same next year? We don't know. It's that uncertainty that we hear about. But what they want us to do is address some macroeconomic issues. We've got to do what we can to lower inflationary costs. That will in turn help our farmers to be able to succeed, be able to afford to run their operations without investing more and more in risk management options at the policy level.
So obviously, I want to step back a little bit here. You know, obviously, we're seeing sort of a August recess break to consider this Inflation Reduction Act. But wondering, kind of as you look at the rest of the congressional calendar into September, into those midterm elections, and into the lame duck session, anything in particular you're watching for in terms of the congressional agenda and things that you know, the American public, your colleagues, folks like me should be watching for in terms of things that could or perhaps should happen between now and the end of this current Congress?
I think it's all going to depend upon how we fund government. The Democrats have us in Congress for 2 weeks in September, and then outside of D.C. the entire month of October. Our fiscal year ends September 30th. They're going to have to either rush an appropriations process, which I don't think at this point in time with the schedule that they put forth is possible. You're likely going to see a continuing resolution, which does not help our farmers. It doesn't help our producers. We ought to be able to make sure Washington isn't the only level of government where people don't expect us to actually pass a budget, pass our appropriations process. But that's what Democrats are forcing us into at the end of September, the way it looks.
Anything in the lame duck session that you're going to be watching for, you know, assuming that a continuing resolution will be punted into that time frame as well?
Yeah, it'd be kind of a long-term spending plan. Once they punt a CR, probably till after the election, that means that we'll be back come November, December. I certainly hope we can get a long-term, at least, you know, fiscal year 23 spending bill done like we should do on a regular basis. That's about the only thing that you'll probably see come down the pipeline between now and the end of the year. I don't see Democrats maintaining control of the House. They don't have another reconciliation process that would be able to get them through the lack of 60 votes in the Senate. And therefore, you're probably not going to see much action out of Congress over the next few months, especially in the House and the Senate, until Republicans hopefully take over.
Well, a lot to be watching for up until that could potentially take place. A number of things on the congressional agenda, a number of things for us all to keep a close eye on. And Congressman Davis, we appreciate your time.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
We'll be right back to hear from this week's panel. But first, our Hannah Pagel takes a look at how consumers are spending their food dollar in this week's Ag by the Numbers.
Consumers have had their fair share of ups and downs when it comes to where they purchase food and how much it will cost them. This chart shows the share of disposable personal income spent on food in the U.S. from 2019 to 2021. Disposable personal income is the amount of money U.S. consumers have left to spend or save after paying taxes. Looking around the world, U.S. consumers spend a smaller amount of their after-tax income on food than many other countries. From 2000 to 2019, the share of U.S. consumers' after-tax income was relatively steady, rising from 9.9% in 2000 to 10.3% in 2019. In 2020, the COVID-19 pandemic forced consumers to eat out less, and not surprisingly, they spent less of their take-home pay on food. However, once COVID-19 vaccines were distributed and social distancing barriers were lifted, the share of food away from home purchases rebounded close to 2019 levels in 2021. These may not look like big movements, but think about it this way. ERS says American consumers, businesses, and government entities spent $2.12 trillion on food in 2021. So small movements in these bars could mean millions of dollars for producers and agribusinesses. Cash-strapped consumers are also looking to stretch their food dollar as inflation hits record levels in 2022. The most recent consumer price index was relatively flat, but food prices were still going up, and many are wondering just when a leveling off will take place. For this week's Ag by the Numbers, I'm Hannah Pagel.
Farmers are always there for each other. We shed tears together. We celebrate together. But we also grow together. Farm Bureau is the largest general farm organization in the country. We have the farmers' back. If you're a farmer and you're not a member, we would welcome you into our Farm Bureau family. And if you want to know more about agriculture, come be part of this great family.
Welcome back. We've heard from Congressman Davis. Now let's hear from an expert panel on this week's news. Excited to have a conversation here with a panel of experts on foreign policy. Joined this week by Laura Wood Peterson with LWP Consulting, Darren Bax with the Heritage Foundation, and James Glick with Michael Torrey Associates. Appreciate all of you taking the time to join us. And Laura, I want to go to you first because we're looking at this Inflation Reduction Act on the show this week. The entirety of Washington is looking at it throughout its various conversations. And one of the things that we see in that bill is a lot of investment in conservation programs, some familiar conservation programs that a lot of producers are already using, but an additional kind of influx in funding. So I know you work on conservation issues quite a bit within your consulting, but wondering what you anticipate will be sort of the on-the-ground impact in 10 years, maybe, of this level of additional investment in conservation.
Hi, Spencer. Thanks for the question. I'm coming at this from a climate policy lens, and this is a historic investment in natural infrastructure coming off the bipartisan infrastructure bill. This bill includes $40 billion in ag-related spending, half of which is mandatory, though not permanent, directly tied to USDA Farm Bill conservation programs. Programs farmers are using and are oversubscribed 3-1. So with this clear focus in the language on climate outcomes, including soil carbon and reducing GHGs, it's using existing program authorities and partners on the ground to enable a new generation or a bigger investment in climate smart agriculture. And this includes the conservation planning that's necessary as a core component of practice implementation. It's also doing so while reducing the deficit and reducing GHGs by 37 to 41% below US emissions from 2005 by 2030. So a large percent of this reduction comes from the ag spending in this bill, especially with the rural development focus on electric co-ops.
So, James, as we look at that conservation investment, though, the language in the reconciliation bill leads it to that funding to run through 2031. The next farm bill, should it be a five-year piece of legislation and should it be passed in 2023, would run through 2028. Wondering, you know, as someone who, you know, was once entrenched in the writing of farm bills on Capitol Hill, wondering what you anticipate will be sort of the political implications as folks begin to look at that conservation investment, that timeline versus a farm bill timeline.
Yeah, no, and I think anytime you're talking about resources and these types of programs, conservation programs, and with a farm bill backdrop, you've got to think, that's the challenge in a farm bill conversation is how do you allocate the limited resources, and whether it's a farm bill that has the instruction to find savings, to maintain status quo, or one like many years ago, 20 years ago, with an increase in new funding, that resource question is one that is important. So additional resources here, I think, will change that conversation a little bit. I think you note the extension of the authorization for just a handful of these programs. And there's always that conversation around when programs have that September 30th deadline and expire. That's sort of the impetus to come to the table to discuss changes, the give and the take of allocating those resources. And so by extending just a handful of these programs, it will change that dynamic to some degree. The other piece in the question you mentioned was sort of the impact on sort of the politics of the Farm Bill. And I do think, you know, historically, when we see reconciliation instructions to ag committees, they've been instructions to find savings. And the ag committees have historically, responded to those in a bipartisan fashion, coming together and making those tough choices. And so this product is moved a little bit differently. It has not had the bipartisan engagement with the instructions that came to the committees. It hasn't had sort of the public input process. And so I think that is kind of setting the stage for farm bill conversations looking at next year with the expiration date. I think that dynamic will be a different one and one to watch if that bipartisanship that is necessary for a farm bill to cross the finish line and be signed by a president, if that's something that can be seen in the new Congress.
Well, and Darren, I want to stick on kind of that theme of the politics and the farm bill right now with my next question for you, because we see a big influx of money into some conservation programs in this IRA, in this reconciliation package. Wondering, there's many conservatives on Capitol Hill that, had their misgivings about foreign policy to begin with. Wondering what you anticipate will be the political implications of conservatives on Capitol Hill, given this amount of influx of funding into farm programs as folks look at rewriting that farm bill here in 2023?
Yeah. First, I think one of my bigger concerns is, I think it's important to kind of take a big picture perspective on a lot of this. There is a movement out there that believes that we need to have a national food policy. And this is kind of similar to like the EU farm to fork strategy and other efforts to try to dictate agricultural practices. And there's kind of this kind of not a recognition, there's not a recognition of the trade-offs that are involved with some of these climate smart policies and how it impacts things like productivity, efficiency. And it's almost kind of a belief that a lot of modern American agriculture kind of is creates damages and is harmful. And that concerns me, you know, a lot. And I fear that it's a way for the government to try to influence kind of how farmers farm in the future. And that's what we're seeing all over the world, actually, as relates to using climate change as a pretext to doing that. Practically on the Hill, how it affects the farm bill politics, it should have an impact in terms of the money that's available. We have a farm bill process, and there's so much money and legislation being passed in the ag space outside the farm bill process. So the question is, if we're going to have the farm bill process, why do we keep doing things outside the farm bill process? So I think it undermines the whole legitimacy of the whole five-year farm bill itself.
We'll be right back with more from our panel right after this.
Looking closer, seeing further. That's how we do it. At Curious Plot, we're driven to find what's next for agriculture, animal care, and food. We stay curious because that's what it takes to grow understanding. That's how we plot strategies and tell stories that get results time after time. Marketing, communications, and consulting that look closer and see further. Curious Plot. We can't wait to help you tell your story.
Welcome back. Each time a farm bill is written, it will face a unique set of circumstances that offer challenges to its final passage. When we spoke with our panel, we asked James Glick what he thought those set of challenges would be for the 2023 version of the legislation.
Structurally, there's a challenge of just getting organized in a new Congress, no matter kind of where gavels end up and in which hands, you know, there will be some changes and some shifts. And so that takes some time to get the committee on the ground and sort of get staff focused, have likely another round of hearings, listen to growers and get writing to text and drafting and moving it within a calendar year. So not a lot of time to get organized, to go through the process and sort of make the tough decisions. And so I think hitting the ground running will be key to watch. I mean, structurally too, you've got at least three of the four folks at the head of kind of their respective teams currently are relatively new to their seats with just kind of a Congress or two under their belts. And so that's a different dynamic than has been seen in recent Farm Bill conversations. And kind of looking at the policy, the macro level, I mean, we've had since the last Farm Bill, we've had a global pandemic. Some of the supply chain challenges there will shape the conversation. We've had, you know, some pretty kind of massive impact on commodity moves with kind of the Russia-Ukraine situation, what that's done to prices, you know, definitely will impact kind of the way farm programs have worked. And then this climate conversation too, the kind of political dynamic, we've had committees move a lot of legislation in a partisan fashion in the current Congress. And so that's probably the other dynamic I'd encourage folks to pay attention to as we look at that next farm bill.
Well, and Laura, we talked earlier about the additional investment that this reconciliation package is making into conservation programs, but there can still be expected to be calls for to do things like increased funding for higher reference prices, a higher level of support for research dollars, more trade promotion funding through the Farm Bill. A lot of folks with a lot of asks that have a lot of dollar signs at this point, and a lot of folks are also wondering if that can be done without some kind of infusion of new money. Wondering your thoughts on whether or not it is going to be a politically feasible exercise to push for new money in this next Farm Bill, especially considering the possible change of control that could come about through the midterms.
Yes, Spencer, I think what Chairwoman Stabenow accomplished here is creating some additional flexibility to get money to farmers. Given the challenges that James just talked about, this Farm Bill conversation is not limited to Title II, but it's expected to some degree that this funding is meant for climate smart ag practices. You're right, though, not all issues are addressed. The research funding is not in there. Let's expect a big push around the cover crop program that was not included, so you get a per payment or per acre payment out there. So I think there will be a lot of questions around how this money gets reallocated, but I applaud the team in figuring out CBO outlays versus budget authority, and that loosens up pressure across titles.
Well, and Darren, when we talk about infusing some of that new money, you had mentioned in an earlier response all of the things that have been done outside of conventional farm bill policy. So wondering, do you think conservatives would be inclined to perhaps support additional money into the farm bill given some of the other infusion of funds that's happened in other areas of legislation?
Well, I would hope that they would recognize the inflation problem that we're dealing with, and spending being a key component of the inflation that we're experiencing, along with all kinds of the regulatory obstacles that are hindering efficiency. So I would hope that the spending concerns will be brought up. Unfortunately, practically, spending concerns are not often as big of a focus as it should be, and I'm hoping that will change with the next farm bill. And certainly, just as we've seen, just the rampant spending over the last year, it certainly concerns me, but hopefully that will change. I do hope that in the next farm bill conversation, there's a recognition of the supply chain issues. There's a recognition of the inflation that still exists. With food inflation, the new numbers is 10.9% with the food numbers. That is the 11th month in a row above 4%, each successive month being higher than last. While overall inflation numbers went slightly down, it wasn't the case when it came to food prices. So that's a concern. There's issues regarding fertilizer prices, all these inputs. And I hope that we, in the next farm bill debate, kind of look at the whole issue holistically and all of the impacts that energy prices and all these other issues play into, kind of how it affects farmers, but also the consumers of the food that farmers produce.
Plenty of long-term implications to keep a close eye on with the action taken on Capitol Hill here this week with that Inflation Reduction Act. Plenty of farm bill implications to keep a close eye on. Laura, Darren, and James, we appreciate you joining us. We'll be right back with more AgriPulse Newsmakers. But first, our Haley Bicklehops takes a look at land values across the country in this week's Map It Out.
Just as fertilizer, fuel, and other inputs are costing farmers more this year, the value and price of farmland is also on the rise. USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service recently reported American cropland has increased in value by about 14% in 2022. This map shows each state's average cost of farmland per acre. Iowa ranks as one of the more costly states, with an average price of $9,400 per acre, which is about a 21% increase from last year. In our nation's largest agricultural state, California farmland prices increased by about 10% to $12,000 per acre. But some farms without access to water in the drought-stricken state are seeing land values decline. The Northern Plains region, which stretches from Kansas to North Dakota, saw the biggest price spike as farmland increased by almost 20%. Kansas has the biggest increase in that region, jumping from 25% over 2021 values. Although prices have increased, some economists believe the NAS figures are on the modest side. Experts also say increased prices may be good for landowners. However, it is an additional high input cost for those renting land. This is especially true for small and beginning farmers. To learn more about the surge in farmland value, check out Bill Thompson's story at agripulse.com. For this week's Map It Out, I'm Haley Bicklehopped.
Did you know AgriPulse has all your favorite podcasts, including Open Mic, Newsmakers, and Drive Time? Take us wherever you go. Subscribe at agripulse.com or on Spotify, Google Play, or Apple Podcasts.
Agriculture Future of America is a nonprofit building transformational leaders in food and agriculture. AFA prepares college students to join the workforce as innovative and engaged young professionals who will shape the future of agriculture. Head to agfuture.org to find out how you can get involved.
Thanks again for tuning in for another episode of AgriPulse Newsmakers. We appreciate you joining us every week for these last several months, but Congress is set to take a break during August, and so will we. We'll be back with new shows beginning September 2nd, but in the meantime, I will be attending this year's Farm Progress Show in Boone, Iowa that runs from August 30th through September 1st. I'll be joined by AgriPulse editor Sarah Wyant, who is moderating a farm policy discussion with G.T. Thompson, the ranking member of the House Ag Committee, and several other members of that committee. And of course, we will still be providing daily updates on our website at agripulse.com. Be sure to visit there for the latest farm policy news in Washington and across the country. And we, of course, would be remiss if we didn't acknowledge in this episode, it is the last time that our viewers will notice Haley Bicklehopped, our intern for the summer, joining us for the production. Haley, we appreciate you joining us here this summer.
Thank you, Spencer. It's been such an opportunity, and I'm so honored to be able to be here.
Absolutely. Well, we were honored that you joined us not only in this show every week, but also in the office every day. It's been great to have you on board. But I think that's going to do it for this week. So for Haley Bicklehopped, I'm Spencer Chase. Have a good one. Newsmakers is a production of AgriPulse Communications. For more ag policy news, visit agripulse.com. You can also find our new content on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. Don't forget to follow AgriPulse and our correspondents on social media to get breaking news and more.